The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
I just sat down with a plate of chicken, peas and rice. Reached for the TV, grabbed the remote. All of a sudden, darkness grabbed me by the throat. The fan stopped spinning, the fridge went still. I sighed and said, well, here's the bill, courtesy of BPL. They've got us living by candlelight. One minute you're dancing, the next you can't see. Surprise, they shout.
Courtesy of BPL.
Find your flashlight, where could it be?
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Wednesday, August 5th. It's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri and I shall be your host for today. I watched that press conference. I vexed. The reason why I'm vexed is because BPL power failure is a sign of a deeper issue. I've been debating Graham Weatherford all week, saying, because he's saying we are a failed state, the whole Bahamas collapse, we finish. And I said, no, it ain't that bad, Graham. I mean, bad. But we in the Bahamas, we are not a failed state. You need to go Google the word to make sure you know and appreciate what the word is. But of course, there are a number of sycophants who join in the conversation, say, yes, the Bahamas is a failed state. And I say, stop. I say, stop with you using these vocabulary words which you don't appreciate. We ain't no failed state. Now, we in crisis. Lord have mercy. It hot. I think it's safe to say that there's a crisis happening at BPL that we need to have a sober conversation about. Right? Because if an executive of the company can say that plugging in electrical vehicle is affecting the grid, there's a crisis. You see, you need to sit down and analyze that. I'm going to talk about that. And that's the conversation, but I want to read something still, because something I started yesterday and I promised to get into, and I promised to finish that, because I had a number of texts yesterday say finish the story, and I wanted to, but I wanted to let you know that I talk in BPL. So I can try my best to quickly read this, because I might have to talk about BPL again tomorrow. But once upon a time, Oprah told United States on the Oprah Winfrey Show, I ain't never eaten no beef. The sales of beef products, hot patty and burgers, plummeted. Because she say, her personally, she ain't never eaten no beef. And the Beef Association of America sued her because the business impact. When I heard that executive said that electrical vehicles is damaging or pulling, straining our grid, I say, I ain't never buying no electrical vehicle. Because that damaging the Bahamas. And I'm a nationalist. I see the people from EV. I ain't hearing from Sebastian. Because he have electrical vehicles too. But if his vehicles is damaging our electrical grid, I need to make noise. I need to protest. I need to let them know I ain't happy with y'all no more. Y'all need to speak to BPL and the executives there and clarify it for me. Because it's part of these 4,000 EV vehicles in the Bahamas. That's it. But whatever that is, that 4,000 pulling the grid. So I'm saying, we can't have no more foreign direct investment no more. Because if 4,000 cars impacting the grid, imagine if we build another Atlantis, another big hotel. That can't be good for the Bahamas. Everything needs to stop. We need to evaluate. We need to stop everything. Every foreign investment talk, we talk about who going on our electrical grid, need to stop. Just pause. Because of what the executives are suggesting happening inside the Bahamas. Because I don't know what's happening. We in a country, and I think that we in an energy crisis. And we need to have a sober conversation, because now it's confusing Bahamian people. I don't know what to think no more. And as they try to explain it, the worse I feel, the more frustrated, because the man tell me I need to go on the beach. See, there's breeze on the beach. When I go on the beach, I turn on my air condition because it's hot outside. No breeze blowing. But he said he feeling breeze. That I must not go home in the air condition I'm paying for, because I am prepared to pay. Gas is $7, but I am prepared to pay because I hate sweating. I'm prepared to pay. I work hard. I work 2, 3, 4 jobs in order to be prepared to pay. But BPL tell me, even though you're prepared to pay, we ain't want your money. We want you off the grid. Right? That's problematic. Because certain luxuries I want. I don't like my wife sweating. That's why I make sure the air conditioner on. In fact, I turn it on before she come home from work. So when she come home, she just say, I have a good husband. And I say, yeah. Take a shower and come lay here. But they saying that I am causing an overload on the grid for doing that. They take her to the beach. That's what the people saying. Flippant. They flippant. They insulting. They don't like me. They don't like us. They don't like us. Because the flippancy they're doing, we're complaining that something is wrong, but the response is not appropriate to tell educated behemoths who are saying, crying out, saying, it shouldn't be like this. Something is wrong. The Prime Minister saying, because it's hot, the wires them are tripping and overloading. I went to and used ChatGPT and said, what was the average temperature for 2025 summer? They said it was 82 degrees. It was hot last year. So I said, definitely got to be hotter this year. So I asked, what is the average temperature this year for the summer? They say it's 84 degrees, 2 digits higher. They mentioned that it's record high in Grand Bahama. So I expect all the Grand Bahama to shut down any minute now because of this excuse that it is hot and that the grids and the transformers are going to explode because it's hot. Any minute now, we expect Grand Bahama to collapse because their temperature is higher than New Providence. The southern region where it's always hot. I don't know what to expect of that, but I am concerned. I believe foreign investors need to be concerned. I believe Bahamians need to be concerned because they now telling the hotels, asking the hotels, begging the hotels to come off the grid and go and use their diesel generators. So the Bahamas, when I say the Bahamas, I mean New Providence, of course. So the Bahamas could stay afloat. They pin on timing them for the luxury. And they must now use their diesel generators to run during peak time because our system cannot accommodate. I say just tell them come off the grid all one time. Lose that money. Mind you, if these hotels stop paying, because they're the only one who's paying on time. Remember Leslie Miller saying, thank God for Super Value, thank God for Atlantis, thank God for Bahama, because they pay their bill on time. And that payment that they make, they spread it out now to keep the engines running, to pay the bills. So imagine now that you're taking them off grid to say, hey, that money, what it used to come in, is not coming in now. Like, what you doing to us? What you saying to us? I concern. These are the companies that know. They now stop having the minister talk. I mean, she on vacation, of course. She ain't there to talk. But they now having the technocrats talk. And I say, the technocrats ain't making no sense. I have no confidence in them. I believe it going to be a hot summer. There could be a series of blackouts again and again and again. And I believe next year, I can be having this conversation again. That it's hot. The lights off. Because I have no confidence in the executives. No confidence in the BPL, Bahama Grid, and the government. When I say the government, I don't necessarily mean the PLP, but I talk about the government. I have no confidence in them. But I will talk about that later. But I can go to the scholar first. And then I have to read this thing for I started yesterday. Because I want to lobby that Miss Sarah Carr needs to be heralded and she needs to be recognized. This isn't behemoth. I wonder if Aaron Green, you going someplace? You want to come read something for me? See, I can speed things up. Aaron ain't gone yet. I can have her read this thing. I can have these callers. See, there you go. That's when you have cousins who could read. They go on the QC. They used to read better than a sack people. hold on for that. But let me go to these callers first, and then all you to read for me. Go ahead, caller. Guiding Radio AM. You're live.
Nuri.
Hey, how you doing?
Nuri, I just want us to do one thing, you know, Nuri.
Go ahead.
You know, when we have a debate, you have arguing sides, you get the pros and the cons, right?
Yeah.
All I'm saying to you is, I provided my evidence. The lady said that the EVs consume 250 kilowatts an hour a month, mm-hmm, on average. She said there's 2,500 EVs. Two times 250 kilowatts hour a month times 2,500 EVs, that tell you the total maximum power that is demanded by these EVs that BPL has to find. Okay. This is all I'm saying to them. Now, I say to persons who say, well, it's not happening, then provide your evidence to show that the EVs aren't affecting the grid. But you cannot.
I respond to that. You believe, let's add on another 1,000 EVs in the Bahamas. It's pulling more electricity than the Hotel Bahama or Hotel.
No, Atlanta. That's not what they're saying.
No, hold on. I'm just saying pulling. I asked you a question. Do you believe?
You can't compare that to that. What I'm saying to you is you have to compare.
Can't compare it?
Not in terms of the mass amount of energy that's being pulled. All I'm saying to you is it accounts for some energy that is required once with the EVs integration. We could determine an amount of energy that is consumed that equates to additional energies that adds to the demand. All I'm saying to you is the EV has to provide their report to back the argument that it's not affecting the grid. And BPL and BGC have to provide their report that shows how it's impacting the grid. See, one for me, I am an EV supporter, but I do understand what's happening with the EVs on the grid. And that's why
I respond to you. If we have another major hotel go on our grid, would it impact the grid?
Of course.
So we should cancel all of that. They are suggesting that we cancel all of that moving forward until the grid get upgraded. We should have no more investment.
That's the easy decision.
No, that's the only decision.
They have no other choice but to cut the entire country off for a couple of days and weeks to fix the power.
Long and short.
That's also an option if it collapses.
I am no longer buying any EV. Because it's
buy EVs.
No,
the problem was
the
dealers. Listen carefully. The dealers were supposed to incorporate an independent power station, whether it's a commercial grid like the sports center, or it is for at the home level, that every purchase EV, the EV company should have ensured that they discuss independent power production for the EV.
You mean the government? The government wasn't aware of that?
I don't know who didn't do their studies, but if you was doing a proper marketing research and SWOT analysis, and you do your analytics, your impact studies,
you're saying that would have realized Bahamas that Power and Light wasn't aware that they were coming, and they have two major.
According to a radio personality in this morning on the Guardian, he said that Bahamas Power and Light did not think that it was going to impact the grid as it does, and that happens. You know, people are limited knowledge. If the companies didn't present us a new technology, new be working with it for the first time. But I'm thinking that the companies like Sabas and the EV owners, they were supposed to do their business planning. They were supposed to do their research when they're entering the market. Then the government, who I'm supposed to be in, the watch persons, they supposed to have some understanding on what should have been added.
And before
alternatives, because I only started to research on the EVs and park on the grid because of what I started to see happening in the grid, you know. And I figured that, you know, so when I determined, that's why I say, when you do your numbers tells you everything. From you know how much energy is consumed a week by the EV, they say a month is 250 kilowatts. You could determine exactly how much power is used and how much money is costing the grid to have the fine in order to compensate. And then you talk about legacy issues. So now these wiring ratings can only go so much. So now you're adding more load to the grid.
Last question I have for you.
And then I have no batteries. So
last question I have for you.
Access power has nowhere to go but to circulate within the distribution grid network.
Last question I have. What you need
to do is incorporate batteries too to be able to offset or transfer excess power in storage and to be able to use excess power in storage so they could use less diesel or fuel to create energy. And all that creates savings, all that creates assistance, but, you know, it is what it is. I wish the EV companies had did their research and they had been prepared, because it ain't like they knew that the cars going to need electricity. So they sell a company, they sell these products, and they depended on the grid, knowing the grid was not in the best shape. So why would you even add more demand on the grid?
That's government job to protect us. But my last question, is there any other country where the EV company has their own power grid?
I can't say, I have to research, but most countries probably have a reliable power plant. You know, only us. Remember now, we failed, our leaders failed to upgrade. They didn't invest in, they keep riding the same car, and they never change the tires. Then one day the tires blow. Then next thing, the engine frees up. They never change the oil. Come on. Then they just ride in the car with no
gas. One more question
run out.
For EV and for the electrical vehicles and two companies here, who gave them permission to open up a business?
The government.
The government, you.
And then most governments, especially new business, with the type of involvement the government has been with the EVs, you would think that they would have. But like I said, boils down to the business plan. I guarantee that the EVs didn't include independent power production as an alternative in their business planning. I could guarantee they didn't have that, because if that was the case, they would have had at least one power station independent to show how it works and how it's truly independent off gas and free. Okay, being dependent on the grid doesn't make you now free from energy or independent, because you're still dependent. You still have to plug into the grid.
I appreciate you.
Same thing with the panels. You hear any companies talking about disposing of these panels?
I appreciate you, caller. And I
the government let
you.
These people start businesses, but they don't even have a plan to dispose panels.
And I thank you for your call. I mean, I truly thank you for your call and challenge me on that. I know our government has a system where they've been changing out all kind of their cars to have EV. So our government is now at fault. I know that the chair lady at BPL, she has her own EV vehicle, the gray one, 2026, brand new, right? So she also adding to the frustration. But anyway, Aaron, I got to clear the board before I have you read that. So let me see if I can speak to them. Go ahead, caller. I still have Aaron here to read. She stayed back for me, so I can have everyone talk for 40 seconds. Go ahead.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Yeah. To blame the power outage on 4,000 vehicles, that is ludicrous. I mean,
go ahead again. You're
building condominium after condominium after condominium and projects on the same grid that has existed before I was born.
Mm.
Like, it's time now to stop being greedy, putting everything in Nassau. And look at your family of islands.
Now pause now.
Look at the one that a hurricane don't hit that much.
Let's pause.
Let's pause.
I am a foreign investor, right? I look at all the Bahamas to determine which will be the best spot to have my business. I need the population. I need the apparatus to, what do you call the things, Aaron, when you have the facilities. Before you started investing and fixing things. Anyway, the facilities, right?
Yeah, infrastructure.
Infrastructure, that's the word I'm looking for. And you tell me you're going to force me to go to Auckland?
Yeah, Auckland is out of reach.
See, there
Auckland
you go.
Is not it.
I'm just showing
you.
You
have other family islands.
Give me a place where I should put a
that
major...
That have the development and some of the infrastructure that you could build upon.
Give me an example. Let me give you an example.
Come on, Marcia. You know Auckland's the one of them.
Hold on.
Develop right
I want to ask you a question. I want to make a mall bigger than the mall we have now. Which island should I put that on?
You got to put it where the population is. You can't just come and
just making sure you say New Providence.
Outrageous investment.
I just make
sure. Nassau ain't an answer, because you can't keep power on for 3 hours in a day.
But
so definitely, Nassau isn't an answer anymore.
You can't put on exhaust.
So now we got to realistically look at, and then you all need to get some of those people out there, because the sun too hot. There's too much of them, and that's why they doing all this crime against each other, because you're bucking left and right shoulders. So people are becoming frustrated. It's time to put infrastructure development and other projects on different islands to sustain them and to get your people there, so that you could develop, build another prison somewhere, and then hire your workers, put the infrastructure, build another hospital on a different island.
We can't even build hospitals here.
To attract, they can't do it here because they, that's another topic, but you got to really look at, see, grandmama been having too much hurricanes. So you put that on the back burner. But you look at Exuma, Elutra.
Exuma can't hold no major investment.
Well, then I got to agree with Grandma when he tells you we're a failed state.
No,
we can't
see,
think.
Call up. You know, I go.
No,
conversation gone. You agree with Graham? No, thanks. Thanks, Colin.
You cost me agree with Graham, no TA.
And I'm mad now.
You're telling me the only answer
for the
family of islands, for the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, is New Providence?
You and I ain't friends no more. I thank you very much.
You can't tell me only New Providence is the answer, and then don't expect
Aaron
me to
say something to you. Aaron wants to say something to you.
Go ahead, Aaron.
Morning, caller. I remember under the Christie administration, he had a very aggressive but poorly articulated policy called the Anchor Project policy. And the intention was that, hey, let's use, I imagine this part, let's use tourism, right, to establish an anchor project, like a major resort on a family island, and let the activity of the major resort draw residents to that island, right, for dispersal of population. And I think they would talk in Andrus, Exuma, I think Exuma Sandals may be the result of that policy, and that may have been the only right sort of anchor project that succeeded.
Mm-hmm.
But speaking to your point, right, I think there was an official yet poorly articulated policy to attempt to distribute or disperse population throughout
islands. Know the political parties, they only put a policy to get in, and then if it
I mean I guess it is a very
it's time for us to realistically look at things and say, hey, we really have to put some of our projects on a different island and attract our young people to move to this place. The young people aren't going to go back to Long Island.
No.
To the farm. They're not going to go back to Andrus, and you don't have banking down there.
Or at the very least, make it attractive to new families,
make it attractive.
Right?
That's what we're not doing. We're not making our other islands attractive. Like, they keep trying to force tourism on Grand Bahama, not recognizing that Grand Bahama tourism that you put in Nassau, so it doesn't work here. This island is a different sort of tourism. You have to, it's tourism could come in all, you know, medical tourism,
conference.
All type of different aspect of tourism. Grand Bahama is really an industrial capital.
Yeah.
So we really need to look at what we're doing to make some sense for our economy to grow throughout our entire family island.
I agree with you, Colin. Thanks again. This text says, okay. Hi, Nuri. When Bahama was being built, I always said that they should have been partially solar. Let's see, what does tech say? These people are now just telling straight up lies. Yesterday they said it was said that it was hot from March. Why the need to make the statement? Because BEC started breaking down from March. But the data shows that our historical March temperatures are 79 through 81 and 69 through 72 degrees at night. Guess what temperature? Were in March 26, 78 to 81, and 67 to 72 degrees at night. Normal. It's normal temperature.
The heat wave started in March. It wasn't a consistent, it wasn't the summer in March, but we had heat waves in March, and we clued into a global conversation predicting heat waves throughout the summer and abnormally high temperatures in spring.
Mm-hmm. This EV argument is stupid. An EV pulls the same amount of power as two dryers. You run a household dryer maybe 10 times per week max. More power than required for an EV should we stop using dryers and return to a closed line? The issue isn't EVs. It's the clear failure of BEC or BGC to do any projections beyond 10 years for future power needs. Let's make sure I get all the callers here.
Yeah, I think the issue with this asking us to put our lives on pause, for how long? You wouldn't even give us a timeline, right? Like, everybody understands that in this, what the minister said, in this time of grief for our electrical grid, we all know that we can help by reducing the amount of energy that we consume. But for how long? How long do you expect us to drastically change the way that we live? Just give us a timeline. Tell us what's expected of us.
So this text says, morning CA, could it be that a gas company sabotaging BPL so people could buy more gas and diesel for generators, being the BPL blaming people?
Nah. I mean, our government is addicted to carbon motor tax, but I don't think it's a matter of sabotage at that level. There may be an unwillingness to acknowledge the realities of today and make changes to the ease or benefit the consumer. They may have a resistance to do that, but there's no sabotage type thing going on.
This text says, in 2026, the Bahamas doesn't seem to be the real place anymore. This text says, good morning, CA. With all the power outages in Eleuthera, the government is approving a mega resort at Old Club Med site in Eleuthera, even though the power goes out every day. It can be a serious time in Eleuthera.
I just asked in my show, what's the status of the Family Island contracts, right? That we noted in the new energy reform policies that contracts were awarded to companies, I think, for power generation on certain family islands. We still don't know if those projects have begun, if the contracts, right, like the life of the contract has begun yet. We just don't know. Family Islanders don't know.
Let's go to the caller as we read this last text. It says, Mandry, my mother sent me that song yesterday. I couldn't catch myself from laughing. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio, AM, you live. Caller, you there? Did it take too long? Let's move to the next caller. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio, AM, you live. Let's go to the next one. Guardian Radio, AM, you live. Let's clear the board. Let's go to this one. Guardian Radio, AM, you live.
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Nuri. Good morning to my screen again.
Good morning.
Yeah, you know, this needs to be like a real, the science behind these things is not really that simple, you know. When we look at the question should be asked, the EV charging stations right there, and are they using isolated transformers, not in the car themselves that have the AC-DC converter, but in the charging stations in some places they use isolation transformers or step-down transformers in order to match the voltage. Mm-hmm. And so the question remains, right? It's simple, you know. You can get the wattage from multiplying the ampacity times the voltage. So then they can know the requirement. They can also get the amperage, right, from multiplying the wattage, right, I will equal POV by the voltage. And so you can use the information from the Ministry of Works, right? And they can say that the average household uses this because most households would have upgraded to 240 volts. So out of the 240 volts, you get a special wire and you get your 208. And some of the commercial buildings would have the 480. I've worked at an industrial location in an industrial park which had equipment run with 380, and they came from Europe. And that's the first time I saw it, but it was no difference. You just had the transformer to match the 380. But for me now, it's simple, you know. I think, can someone just ask, or someone from BPL call, you know, like how they give out their total, they'll say, well, they provide 160 million megawatts, right? I don't know if they went above that as yet, but you simply just divide that, right, by the voltage. Right? And then that will give you the amount of ampacity. I think I got like 666,600 and something amps. And so you know that the average household doesn't, let's say the average, the balance of power may be 100 amps. The average household would never use that. So let's say they can have an idea what the average household uses, maybe 30 amps if they have on everything 40 amps. So they should have an idea where they're lacking. And so let's be truthful about the consumption of the ampacity of electrical vehicles. Because when I looked at it, it was quite astounding. And then juxtaposing that with data centers, a gentleman called Dwight Schoen gave a very simple analogy. You know, he talked about, he used water, I think. I didn't get to hear the conversation too good. But as relates to capacity, he's talking about the requirements for water usage or something like that, or adding to facilitate the growing population. I don't think we have done that. We haven't looked into that because NASA is piling up. And the situation with the grid is indicative of them not paying attention to the demanding population growth. And it's simple. That's a simple juxtaposition. You know, more people, more power. Come on, man. Give thanks. Yeah.
More people, more power. We have a lot of calls. A lot of calls. Let's go to the caller. Guiding Radio AM, you live? Let's move on there, Kermit. Guiding Radio AM, you live?
I'm present. Good morning, Mr. Nuri. You know, compared, I mean, the biggest one the gentleman talking about moving back to the island. Let that person know that majority of our leaders live from family islands, a better way of school and employment. And most of them, the only time they go back to their own family islands, our leaders, is around Ricardo Island. They don't want to go back to their own island. How do you expect us to tell our leaders to send the people back to the island? The leaders don't want to go back to Cat Island and take other than Ricardo. Have a good day.
Thank you very much. Let's go to this last caller there. Guardian Radio AM, you live? Go ahead, caller, you live?
Hey, what's up, Rachel?
Rachel, man.
Listen, I need the people at NASA in particular to understand that we don't have a generation problem. BPL is producing the current. The problem is they can't distribute it because the lines in the transformer are blowing up. So it's not a matter of producing the power. They can produce, according to them, they can produce the power to supply their customers. They just can't get it to the people. And that's the issue right now what we're facing, a transmission and distribution problem, not a generation problem.
I feel you, caller, but they keep telling us it's a generation problem. They keep telling us that we're using too much electricity.
Why is it you can't get the power to the people? Why is it your lines blowing up? Why is it your transmission blowing up? We don't hear about the generators blowing up.
Here's one thing I will give the government, right? It's not all their fault. When through simple observation, the amount of public infrastructure that's damaged by bad drivers, bad accidents, and then rogue actors, people on small construction sites that haven't done their homework. They dig in the wrong place and they hitting lines, right? So in there is a part of this problem is not necessarily the government's fault, because the people them knocking down light poles every day, man.
Here's why I disagree with you. The light poles are not the issues. It's the transmission at the Blue Hill plant. It's the distribution lines coming at the Blue Hill plant that's the issues.
So
the problem still, we can't get the power to the people.
Maintenance.
So let me ask you a question.
Sure.
We had this process of putting the cables underground, right? A lot of cables. Do we need to not have them underground?
I think underground would be the safest place to put them.
Okay. So how do we improve the speed with which they respond to identify and respond to underground fault issues?
Maintenance. That's the problem, BPL free. Listen, we have countries around the world with, let's say, for instance, Cuba. Cuba power plant is, maybe the 20s, 30s, somewhere around in there. Mm-hmm. The problem with Cuba is Cuba isn't running. Cuba power isn't shutting off because the system is failing. Power is shutting off because they don't have no oil. So the problem is not the system old. The system is you're not maintaining your system. That's why it's breaking.
Yeah, okay. I accept
bottom
that.
Line.
I appreciate you, Cuba. I appreciate you. Thanks very much. People need to hear that. Before we go to the next caller, let me read this. Say, if 10,000 electric vehicles were connected to the grid, each drawing 250 kilowatts, the total demand would amount to only 2.5 megawatts. To claim that EV integration is the root cause of system instability is misleading. This argument is a convenient excuse that masks the deeper issue, a clear failure of those managing the grid to implement the necessary upgrades and solutions to ensure reliability. My point is, who do I believe? Do I believe the technocrats at BPL, because that's the job, or I'd believe Mr. and Mrs. Farmer?
Well, I don't think we've heard from a technocrat yet from BPL.
Who that exactly was? He was a technocrat?
I don't think he's a technocrat.
No?
No.
What his name is? Say, Bahamas Grids BGC CEO Darren McKinsey.
He's the chief executive officer. That doesn't mean he's a technocrat. And I'll give him that, because none of the language sounded like it came from a technocrat.
Especially when you're talking about the beach.
Yeah.
If you're talking about the beach, something wrong. Something wrong. The beach art? No. I know. Especially people like me who don't go in the water.
In the June 11th Tribune article where JoBeth Colby-Davis tells us that BPL is ready for the summer, right? She indicates that they have... the demand, the 300 megawatts, mm-hmm. some large, and then the peak, 340 megawatts at peak, but they have 385, right? So they have 45.
More than enough
for generation. So if the calculation is correct, then the 2.5 MW should not affect what they had in reserve. That should not be the issue. But from what the last caller said in terms of the problem being a transmission and distribution issue, right? The problem comes in when we're told that when Pike was here, they completed 95% of the transmission and distribution work. That's where the problem lies. See, I could imagine if it's not generation capacity, it's in the T&D system, then we haven't done an assessment of the quality, the status of the infrastructure in the area where the charge is being installed. Is there extra pull maybe there's not an extra pull. But if 95% of the transmission and distribution work had been done at the point where Pike left, then what are all of these faults about? And the things they indicated were left to do have nothing to do with underground faults, right? Like, it has nothing to do with power lines. I got the article there. It's the June 11th, Joe Beth Kobe Davis, BPL Ready for Summer article, right? Like, why is this 5% feeling like it's the 95%? If you said you completed 95% of the work when Pike took its leave.
I don't know about all that, but I know it hot. That's what I know, it hot. And the people don't want me to burn my air conditioner. Said it blown out the grid. I need the help, they said.
Right, and so that's what I'm saying. If it, what it is that you need us to reduce our capacity entirely, right? Like, until you could identify where all the problem spots are, and then you give us a time schedule of repair so we know, look here, you know you're going to be off for 24 plus because this work is going to take 24 plus. But here's the timeline. We know we're going to start work on September 10th. We know that work will be done by September 12th. All we're asking you all to do is to prepare yourself to be without power for 48 hours.
Mm.
Give people a heads up. Identify the specific areas in which work needs to be done and then prepare people for that.
There you go. Let's get this caller. Go ahead, caller. Guide and Radio AM, you're live. Oh, the line's just going blank. Let's read these texts. It says, good morning, Mr. Nuri. I think I have figured it out now. The sabotage is probably by the government because they know they can't transfer those transmissions and distribution assets to BGC unless they go to Parliament. They are trying to create an emergency to force the transfer and bypass that step. Ms. Green, they are saying use less appliances. This means demand. In order to prove what he is saying, we would need data. As with EVs, divide 2.5 million megawatts by 120 and 240 volts. This would give you the opacity.
I got you.
Good day. Bahama was approved for building the island needed a quantum leap in both distribution and generation of electricity, and both governments failed to address this problem. This is not to blame Bahama, but to blame the proper planning by both governments for future developments in New Providence. This text says, the bigger the population, the more development equals more power use. That common sense, but we are paying hefty bills to go and live on the beach. Let's go back to the callers again.
Yeah, but that's it right there. People are mad because not only do I not have a consistent access to electricity, but my bill looks like my power been on the whole time. Mm. That's what people are livid is because the question now is BPL estimating bills?
Yeah.
Because how could my power be off more than it's on in a monthly cycle, but my bill in that cycle is twice as much as it was the cycle before?
Let's go to the callers. Guiding Radio AM, you're live. Go ahead, Kermit. Patch out caller for me, please. Go ahead, caller. You're live.
Yes. Hey, how are you doing?
Doing well.
And Ms. Green?
Good morning.
Go ahead, you're live. Go ahead.
Oh, so, I'm sorry. I thought you were still talking. But before I get to BPL, right, Ms. Green and Nui, you know, I often hear people talk about Grand Bahama being the industrial capital of the Bahamas and is not designed for hospitality. But if you look at the design and intent of the Hoxton Creek Agreement and what was here, I want you to know that Grand Bahama was one of the primary hospitalities. Just give me 1 minute for this one before I move on, right? You had the Grand Bahama Hotel and Country Club, the Choctaw Bahama Hotel and Country Club, Deepwater Key Club, the Caravel Club, the Fish and Hole Road, what's the name of the thing, the Grand Bahama Hotel and Country Club, Hope Bright Lodge, Freeport Inn, Kings Inn and Golf Club, the Fish Star, the Holiday Inn, Lokind Beach Hotel, Lokind Villas, Oceanus Hotel, Xanadu, the Take Me Hotel, Star Hotel, Atlantic Beach Hotel, Riviera Towers, Freeport Inn, International Hotel. And I can give you so much more from the Holiday Inn, the Rakhine Bay. These were all hotels that was here, Princess, you know. And so Grand Bahama has always been part of the hospitality industry. In fact, Grand Bahama almost could, in our previous history, could almost match what we currently have for 50% of what we currently have for New Providence. So okay. Just for people who keep saying that, just please stop. You don't know the history of Grand Bahama, you probably don't know Grand Bahama. It just shows you the failure of where we are now.
Go ahead,
but,
Nick.
But on the power issue, right? This is where a couple of callers made this point. We don't have a needs analysis. We don't have a root cost analysis, gap analysis, cost analysis, time, productivity, any of these things that has been done. When Pike came, Pike was 90% completed of what was assigned to them, because the $137 million can only run three lines, the three line that's necessary from the Brewer station to downtown due to cost. I mean, I want you to look at all of New Providence that has to be done, the alleys, the street, the corridors, everything else of that sort, plus the legacy system. We've had a legacy system from the early 80s, and they were not a hardened system for salt and this and that. We didn't maintain it, anything of that sort. So what we have, no matter how much patching we do, unless we decide that we need a complete grid makeover of New Providence, nothing will happen, and you will continuously do the same thing we've been doing for 20 years. We have to bite the bullet, absorb the fact that we need to find $3 billion, which is only less than $300 million a year. That's the interest-only payments while we grow the economy, because the economy will be affected impactfully. So until we actually get them to come to us and tell us, listen to this, the needs analysis, the root cause analysis now, the gap analysis of where we are, where we need to be, the cost analysis to have it done, the time analysis for which it will happen to be done, productivity and efficiency analysis, the test cells, what, all of these things, they're BSing us. And so just let me say, all the asinine statements must be spelled asinine by AFS instead of AS.
Thank you very much. This last text says, good afternoon. Is the solar power plant at the sports center being used? Quickly answer that before we go to break.
You mean the shrub?
Yeah.
It's not a power plant.
No.
It's just a little shrub.
Plus, it's supposed to give back energy
back to the grid.
And that's not happening.
No, but they get nice events out there in the evening.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. After you have junk in it.
Yeah, practice.
Yeah, definitely practice. Anyway, we're going to take a quick commercial break. And when you come back, we got to read my thing, man. We're going to read my thing. I know you want to talk about BPL. We can talk about BPL for the whole week. Right? Yeah. We'll be right back.
For a vacation this summer? No worries. We got you. Guardian Radio 96.9 will fly you and a guest to South Florida for a vacation of a lifetime. Our sweet summer escape gets you round-trip tickets on Bahamas Air. $1,000 spending cash, thanks to Percy's Island Games. Brand new luggage from Brass and Leather. 4 days and three nights at the beautiful Holiday Inn Express Plantation. Free car rental from Hertz, too. All you need is your passport. We got you covered. Enter now for the Guardian Radio 96.9 Sweet Summer Escape. Fill out the form in today's Nassau Guardian and follow us on all social media platforms. Remember, you must be 18 or older to enter. Entry deadline August 12th, drawing August 14th. Taxes not included and certain restrictions apply.
We're going to give you a check every week for a year. Chances with us, the most trustworthy name is Percy's Island Games. So put 20 on your account and ride this easy train at Percy's Island Games.
Headed to South Florida soon? Holiday Inn Express in Plantation welcomes you to the heartbeat of Florida fun. Whether it's business or pleasure, the Holiday Inn Express is close to sensational shopping, captivating dining, and nightlife. Elevate your Florida experience. Sleep well and rest easy at Holiday Inn Express. Complimentary breakfast buffet featuring seasonal favorites. Keep up your fitness routine in our 24-hour on-site fitness center with cardio equipment and free weights, or take a refreshing swim in our outdoor pool. Your special Bahamas tourist rate awaits. Holiday Inn Express, 1701 North University Drive in Plantation. Book your getaway now. Call directly at 954-472-5600 or the sales department for reservations and additional information.
Attention Island Game players. Percy's pension plan is now accepting applications. Deposit $25 and you are officially in the running for a weekly salary of up to $1,000 a week for a full year. Applications close September 8th. Apply now at theislandgame.com.
And welcome back to Guiding Radio AM. Because I have a caller online, I'm going to take this call, but I definitely can try to get Aaron to read this thing. Go ahead, caller. Are you there? I don't want to leave you behind. Go ahead.
Hey, quick question, right? What's supposed to happen now when we add another 900 houses onto the grid?
Darkness.
Remember now we have a housing crisis, right? And we're trying to get people from renting and doing rental assistance and all that by putting people in new homes. And we promised that we're going to go build about at least 1,000 houses a year or more. So what happens now when we add those 1,000 houses onto the grid? But the good thing is we have a unique situation in this area now, right? Whereas we could, the government itself, when they build those houses, they can introduce all the houses with solar. That's the only way. Other than that, boy, we'd be in an even bigger mess after you build these houses. The second thing I want to make a note on, right? Removing the population is a horrible idea. The reason why I'm saying that is, right, once we carry people off in your province onto the other islands, now we have to do the pollution. So we solve one problem, we create a whole another big mess.
I hear you and I appreciate you.
Yeah.
I truly appreciate you. Aaron, get my story ready, man.
I'm ready.
Start reading, please.
But introduce it. Tell them.
No.
We're going back to a time. And
you said whatever it is. I just need to read it quick. 15 minutes?
All right, here we go.
Go ahead.
I read from the paper. Here's what happened when they freed the slaves in the Bahamas. From the writings of Sir Henry Milton Taylor. Happy Emancipation Day. Asked about slavery, she said, "Yes, sir. When Queen Vicky said we free my children, them cut Bubby long time. I've been woman long time in slavery. What was your master's name?" she was asked. "Child, I ain't never did know that. We all used to call him Master Joe. But we ain't did know no more than that," she answered. "Tell me now," she was asked, "what happened on the day when you heard that you were free?" "And Bulla," she answered with a grin, "all of we did a dance the whole night. Then we rest and we dance again. Then dance keep up the whole week. I ain't know when the dance stopped." "How did you eat all that time? Where did you get your food from?" she was asked. "Them master them send victual there for we. They wasn't gonna lay we get hungry. You know? They know we been gotta go back to work for them." "Did you go back?" "Bulla, we did gotta go back to work for master them. We ain't had nothing to eat. So master say we must come back and they was gonna feed me," answered Sarah with a very pleased expression on her face. Here is a longer version. It was a story of Sarah Carr, a young woman of African birth who was brought as a slave to the Bahamas, became in the hearts of the people of the south end of Long Island an authority on bush medicines. If Aunt Sarah can't cure you, you needn't go to the doctor, because they can't cure yourself. Sarah Carr was a midwife as well. In fact, during the latter part of the 19th century and the early part of the 20th century, there were no other persons who were called to attend in cases of childbirth in that part of Long Island. She was unlettered, uneducated, held no paper degrees, but success followed her everywhere and remained at her side continually. I believe that Sarah was an adopted name. I do not believe that her African name was known to anyone around her. She had been married, but her husband, William Carr, died before I was old enough to know him. I first knew Sarah when I was about 6 years old. She was a frequent visitor at our house, and she was always welcomed. Considering her age, she must have been in her 30s when the Act of Abolition was passed in England in 1834. She lived on a hill overlooking the settlement of Victoria Village on the outskirts of Clarence Town. Her home was a shack with one bedroom and a front room. Although it was always, in the days I knew her, in a state of disrepair, she kept it spotlessly clean and tidy. They were the days or years when she was over and about in good weather. When nature called, she would go through the thick bushes that surrounded her house to answer the call. Sarah was a Baptist by religion. On Sunday mornings, it was customary to see her walking her way to the little Baptist church on the other side of Clarence Town, over 1 mile from her home, to attend the service there. Her uncanny and very considerable knowledge of bush medicines earned her a wide reputation among all the people with whom she came in contact. It is possible that that knowledge came with her from Africa, and I have always wondered whether the bushes and trees of the Bahamas were similar to those of her native land. God make bush for every sick. Your honor got to know what to get. Whenever a person got sick in the area around, Sarah would diagnose their trouble to herself and went into the forest, returning with an armful of leaves, shrubs, vines, or roots. Remuneration for her work was very little. The people around her were poor, had very little of worldly goods, and Sarah was greatly satisfied to do whatever she could to assist her friends and neighbors. As a midwife, she remained with the child and its mother for 9 days, and for this service, Sarah's fee was 6 shillings, 12 shillings Long Island money, or about a little less than $1 by today's exchange. In those days, it was $1.50. Sarah Carr, or Sarah as she was called by everybody, was considered the medical marvel of the community. Medical doctors and nurses were as rare on Long Island as hen's teeth. Therefore, whenever the villagers found it necessary to solicit medical assistance, they had to resort to any person who they believed could help them. For years before and after the turn of the 20th century, Sarah supplied this necessity to the community with the assistance of her own medicines, which she obtained from the shrubbery and bushes around. She seemed to get along successfully and built up for herself a very popular and enviable reputation. There were times when a sick villager seemed to be too ill for Sarah to attend to or prescribe for. Whenever this happened, she recommended that the patient be put on one of the local sailing vessels that was plying between Long Island and Nassau to consult a medical doctor.
I got to stop you there. I really wanted to get this into the record. It's a little longish, but it's worth the read. I'm lobbying to have Sarah Carr be recognized officially by the government, especially the hospital, Ministry of Health, as one of the first midwives of the Bahamas, especially with this new hospital. What the new hospital be about again?
It has a focus on women and children.
Yes, and I think Sarah Carr should be the standard bearer or recognized
patron.
Of that hospital. So I want to read that story. I'm going to lobby for that for the next couple of weeks. Thank you very much, Aaron Green, for reading that for me. This has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. You have a wonderful day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.